It's Red Eye Radio, with talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. For Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, Dan Mandis. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
Appreciate you being here. The phone number indeed, 866-90-RED-EYE, 866-907-3339. You can find me on Facebook, Parler, Instagram, and Twitter, all four at Dan Mandis Show. And man, do we have a lot of news for you tonight, folks. Appreciate, again, you being here. Pennsylvania has now certified Joe Biden. We've got Sidney Powell. She is promising later today to release the Kraken. I've got some audio for you on that. And what does Joe Biden have in store for you in his first 100 days? We've got all those stories and a whole lot more straight ahead on Red Eye Radio. So we all know who Sidney Powell is, right? She is the woman, the attorney, who used to be on President Trump's campaign team, the legal team there. And she was unceremoniously booted off of his legal team there in dealing with the campaign and election fraud and everything else. Well, now she appeared with Lou Dobbs earlier tonight. And it does sound like she is ready to release the Kraken. And she does continue to focus on the Dominion voting machines and its origins in Venezuela.
That the software was created and used in Venezuela to control the elections and make sure that Hugo Chavez was always reelected as the dictator of Venezuela in what appeared to be, quote, free and fair elections, end quote. But they were manipulated by the software used in the Dominion machines and used by other machines in the United States, frankly. And we are just continuing to be inundated by evidence of all the frauds here and every manner and means of fraud you could possibly think of.
Yeah, so again, she's on with Lou Dobbs. And the question is, what evidence is there and when will she present it? Now, as far as Dominion goes, the accusation is that their machines can be hacked or used to turn Trump ballots into Biden ballots. And that is what the Trump campaign is alleging. And there have been so many claims of ballot harvesting and double voting and dead people voting. No access by GOP officials to oversee the counting process. Massive ballot dumps. Suddenly the voting stops, then starts again. All of these accusations, the ballot counting stops and then starts again. In all of these accusations, it could be any number of issues. And so one of the things that they asked, that Lou Dobbs asked Sidney Powell is, okay, so when will we be able to hear exactly what it is that you have that can prove your case?
When shall we expect your lawsuit?
Well, I think no later than tomorrow. It's just going to be, it's a massive document, and it's going to have a lot of exhibits.
And who will be the defendant or defendants?
The defendants are going to be folks in Georgia who are responsible for supposedly making sure the elections in Georgia are done properly. And there are just countless incidents of voter fraud and election fraud writ large in Georgia.
All right. So I will tell you, social media is going crazy on what it is that she's going to bring to the table tomorrow. She said this last night, no later than tomorrow. So at some point today, we should be hearing whatever this Kraken is from Sidney Powell. So Georgia, which is now undergoing a second recount. And remember, Georgia has been in her sights for weeks. Remember when she said this the other day, going after the Secretary of State there in Georgia and also the governor there, Governor Kemp. She said this on Newsmax a few days ago.
Georgia's probably going to be the first state I'm going to blow up. And, and Mr. Kemp and the Secretary of State need to go with it because they're in on the Dominion scam with their last-minute purchase or award of a contract to Dominion of $100 million, the State Bureau of Investigation for Georgia ought to be looking into the financial benefits received by Mr. Kemp and the Secretary of State's family about that time.
I mean, listen, these are very scurrilous accusations.
And another benefit Dominion was created to award is what I would call election insurance.
Just to clarify, you're saying that Governor Kemp, who's been a longtime ally of the president, is directly involved because of financial benefit in the conspiracy to defeat the president in Georgia?
We have certainly been told that there is evidence of that, and it would warrant an investigation if anybody were actually going to do an honest investigation.
What more could you tell us about that alleged conspiracy? Is the governor's involvement?
I can't give you any more details on that now, but it would certainly warrant an investigation.
Georgia.
If it had been reported to me as a law enforcement officer, I would be investigating it steadfastly.
So here's what I would say, because it was right after that interview that she was, again, unceremoniously booted from the Trump legal team. And see, I wonder if all of this was some sort of legal maneuvering, but more on that in a minute. Because she does have, and she and Rudy Giuliani and some of these other folks on Trump's legal team, they come up with these accusations. And listen, I am all for President Trump. I'm very much of a conservative, very much wanting President Trump to have a second term. But we keep hearing all of this very aggressive language from Sidney Powell and Rudy Giuliani and others. And so if I say, for example, well, this guy stole my car. Well, at some point, I've got to prove that this person stole my car. At some point, Sidney Powell and the rest of the Trump team, they need to come up with some actual evidence. And so it's my hope that they actually come up with some evidence tomorrow. She also, by the way, says that more lawsuits are coming in the next several days. And she says that she will hit all of the necessary deadlines.
We even have an affidavit now from a distant state that's done by one of the election officials in the state telling us all the things that person witnessed as being wrong there. So it was nationwide, and the evidence is so overwhelming, it's almost as though they were so blatant about it, they expected us to catch it, and, you know, maybe it's a diversion from something else that's going on. I don't know, but it's also clear that there was foreign intrusion into our voting systems, and that's going to be the real where the rubber meets the road.
All right, so we'll have to wait and see what happens. Now, when she accused the Secretary of State in Georgia and also the Georgia governor of the things that she accused them of, and basically, you know, profiting off of Dominion and some of these other things, well, again, one of the things that she said, and this was sort of a red flag for me, when she said, I am told, or I have been told that this is going on, and she declined to go into details. Well, if you are accusing in one of the most corrosive environments possible, if you're accusing the governor of the state of Georgia and the Secretary of State of, you know, voter fraud and all these other things, which, you know, very unspecific, you've got to bring some evidence. And it better not just be, well, because some guy told me so. And again, I say this as a President Trump supporter. One of the things that I've experienced in the last few days is that if you're somebody who is a conservative and you come out and you simply say, for the love of all that is holy, stop speaking in generalities and bring some evidence. Because all you're doing is you are setting yourself up where this evidence better be irrefutable. Because you are building up such a case in people's minds, and then if you come forth with, I don't know, some evidence that could be lacking, maybe has some holes in it, well, then you have lost all credibility, and so has Donald Trump. And we cannot afford to let that happen if you're a conservative. And she has more details, by the way, in some of these other states. She went on to say, she's speaking to Lou Dobbs, we've heard about possible more lawsuits in several other states as well. Here's what she had to say.
There's no way there was anything but widespread election fraud here. We've got one witness that says in Arizona, at least there were 35,000 votes added to every Democratic candidate just to start their voting off. It's like getting your $500 of Monopoly money to begin with when you haven't done anything. And it was only for Democrats.
Do you think that we're going to see the Trump presidency saved?
Yes, I definitely do. There's no issue in my mind but that he was elected in an absolute landslide nationwide.
So again, these are very scurrilous accusations and very big promises from Sidney Powell. So the big question is, she has such a great reputation. Why did she leave the Trump legal team? Well, Jenna Ellis was on Newsmax, and Jenna Ellis also part of the Trump campaign election team, his legal team. And she says that the reason why Sidney Powell left is because she really needed to focus her efforts on Dominion.
Yeah. So, of course, Sidney's been a great friend of mine. And ultimately, the legal team was kind of looking at two different directions. And like lawyers do, we all discuss the best legal theory to serve the client's best interest. And in this particular case, we want to make sure to preserve election integrity. And Sidney is very much focusing on Dominion voting systems. And that's going to be a much longer strategy. And that's going to be something that she's investigating. And right now, where Rudy and I and the other members of the legal team are focused is making these claims, looking at the election official.
So here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that Sidney Powell, she's not really working on the election of 2020 right now. What she is working on is election integrity moving forward. Because if we don't fix whatever fraud happened in 2020, then conservatives don't have a chance in 2022 or 2024 or in any election in the future. So the time is now to begin to root out some of this fraud that is going on. So I have some more audio to play for you from Jenna Ellis. Also, what does Joe Biden have in store for you in his first 100 days? It's all straight ahead right here on Red Eye Radio. The phone number, 866-90-RED-EYE, 866-907-3339. Dan Mandison for Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. This is Red Eye Radio.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
Radio, Dan Mandison for Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. Appreciate you being here. The phone number is 866-90-RED-EYE, 866-907-3339. So we've got all kinds of stuff going on. Everybody is so excited. Finally, according to Sidney Powell, the Kraken is going to be released in Georgia, where she is promising to file a massive lawsuit. She says it is a massive document. And I think what's going on is the fact that she was booted one way or another. She is off of the Trump election team, the legal team there. And so I think really what she's focused on is not necessarily 2020, but elections moving forward. She is all about Dominion, and she is all about trying to figure out where exactly it is that the voter fraud is happening within the voting systems, the voting machines themselves. Now, one of the things that Jenna Ellis said, and again, this was on Newsmax TV, this was yesterday, she said that there is a massive amount of fraud, and they're uncovering more and more every single day.
This is just astonishing, Greg, where you have these election officials that have just completely disregarded election law in their state. You have governors, you have election officials on the ground telling voters that when they come in, like a lot of good Republicans do on election day, they come in and are told, sorry, you already cast a mail-in ballot, so you can't vote. You can only vote provisionally. That is a two-tiered system of justice. You have these thousands and thousands of ballots, hundreds of thousands of ballots that are being counted in secret. You have naked ballots coming in where there's no security envelope with the ballot. I mean, you have so many different things and instances of voter intimidation. We have thousands of pages of witness affidavits on all of these different issues across six states.
Yeah, listen, there's been plenty of evidence here that at least has been proven as far as the affidavits go. How much is there? This is the big question. How much evidence is there, and is there enough to overturn the election or to keep Joe Biden out of the White House? Here's the deal. It is clear that half the American people simply are not buying these election results, and that's a problem. And before you say that this is a Trump thing, it's not, because if Trump won, the Democrats had, 700 lawyers ready to go? Hillary Clinton even said, whatever you do, don't concede. So this is not a Trump thing. This is a politics thing here in 2020. Because if this thing went the other way and Trump won, then yes, the Democrats were ready to fight with, again, those 700 lawyers. But a lot of this plotting, in my estimation, in my opinion, was done right before our eyes. I mean, we saw this coming a mile away. You remember me filling in for the guys talking about the Red Mirage. What's going to happen on election night? What's going to happen on election night is Trump is going to, it's going to look like he's going to win. Then all of a sudden, here come the Democrats with all of these mail-in ballots. And that is exactly what happened in Pennsylvania and in other states across America. So for me, this has not been a surprise. We have to allow mail-in balloting. That's what the Democrats said, right? That's what the media said. All in the name of COVID. It was part of the Great Reset. We've got to allow mail-in balloting. Now, you can have riots, you can have protests, you can shop at Home Depot, but you can't stand in line to vote. Got it. Again, remember, this is all about the Democrats and the media and what they essentially forced America to do and forced the states to do, this mail-in balloting, because it gave them the opportunity to cheat. We had to ease all of these requirements. So you remember all this. You can vote earlier. You can vote later. Who cares about postmarks? All in the name of COVID. It was politicized. It was used to utilize mail-in balloting because the media and Democrats knew that this would help them in the presidential campaign. Remember, we had to ease signature requirements, identification requirements. And if you didn't, well, then you were trying to suppress the vote, which, of course, makes you a racist. We had to allow ballot harvesting everywhere, because if you don't, it's suppressing the vote. And that is racist as well. See, these are things that the Democrats and the media, they've been working on this for months, ever since the coronavirus came over here from China. They used it. They politicized it to plot to essentially utilize fraud to steal this election. Now, here's the question. It's what I know, but what can I actually prove? That's what the president needs to understand. He can say it. He can tweet it. He can accuse. So can Sidney Powell. So can Jenna Ellis. But at the end of the day, they need to be able to prove it, essentially beyond a reasonable doubt. Again, it's not what you know. It's what you can prove. 866-90-RED-EYE is the phone number. 866-90-RED-EYE. I want to say hello to John in Coral Springs, Florida on Red Eye Radio. John, how you doing, buddy? Thank you very much for calling in. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks for the opportunity. Let me just say, I'm just frustrated. Listen, it's all or nothing for right now, because I'll tell you something right here, right now. There you go, dear. I'm actually in a McDonald's making a payment. There you go. Hopefully it's enough. I'm telling you, it's all or nothing. This is not a feel-good story. I would rather us, and it would be good Republican Party, I would rather us lose the election than find out we won, and they cheated with these ballots, with all the stuff that went on the election night, with all the stuff that you hear about, to a lazy bum like Biden, who didn't even get out of his damn cellar to come out and vote. He made Hillary Clinton look like a troop rat. She was lazier than anybody I ever seen in my life 4 years ago. What are you talking about, a loser? I mean, she stays with a husband who cheats, makes her look like an idiot.
John's passionate. John, I appreciate the call. Thank you very much. Unfortunately, I've got to take a break. But one of the things that John said, I would like to focus on coming up next. And that is Joe Biden staying in his basement. I've got that story and a whole lot more straight ahead right here on Red Eye Radio. Here's your national forecast.
Throughout your day today, we'll see a fair amount of shower activity stretching from Arkansas to southwestern Missouri and central Iowa all the way north to the Great Lakes region. There's a chance of a mix of rain and snow in northeast Kansas and eastern Nebraska. And additional rain and snow is likely across the Pacific Northwest and the northern Rockies. That's where a cold front entering the northwest will accompany that dicey weather through Thursday. Snowfall amounts of 6 to 12 inches are possible across the higher elevations of the Cascades, as well as mountain peaks in northern Iowa, and also in the region including Yellowstone National Park. Snow also likely on this day before Thanksgiving in parts of south-central New York and northeast Pennsylvania. Also, much of the weather along the East Coast will amount to showers and isolated thunderstorms. And by the way, if you are planning outdoor activities on Thanksgiving, temperatures are expected to cooperate in much of the country. In fact, above average temperatures will be found east of the Rockies, with widespread highs in the 50s, 60s, even in the 70s. And there's a look at your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm Linda Kenyon.
Lines are open. 1-866-907-3339. 866-90-RED-EYE. Now, for Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, here is Dan Mandis.
Appreciate you being here. It is indeed Red Eye Radio. Hope you're doing well. I am on Facebook, Parler, Instagram, and also Twitter. By the way, I do host a midday show here in Nashville, Tennessee. It is 1 to 4 Eastern time at Supertalk 99.7 WTN. Feel free to listen, won't you? So Hans von Spakovsky. Now, this is a guy from the Heritage Foundation who is a commissioner for the Federal Election Commission and a guy who has literally written books on voter fraud. And he was on Fox News a while back, and he said that in Pennsylvania, they didn't necessarily need to cheat regarding the election because the Democrats had actually lawsuited their way to victory by suing to get a bunch of rules changed. Listen to this.
The order by the Pennsylvania court was really bizarre in many aspects, telling the election officials there that they couldn't reject a ballot if the signature didn't match. They couldn't reject a ballot even if there's no postmark on the envelope to indicate it's been voted by Election Day, and then extending the deadline past the deadline set by the state legislature.
So there's so many different things to speak about regarding the rules, the voting rules that were changed in the months ahead, of November 3rd. So basically what Hans von Spakovsky is saying is that people could have voted twice. They could have voted after Election Day. So whether or not people actually cheated in Pennsylvania and other states, the deck was stacked against Republicans from the very start. Another issue is that states extended early voting, right? So some even before the debates. Then we all remember people saw the debates, especially that second debate where Biden said he would ban fracking. And suddenly we saw people Googling on how to change their vote. Now, it's not real surprising that the Democrats wanted to extend early voting as early as possible because they knew the further they went into the election, into the campaign season, the worse Biden would get. And that is exactly what happened. So a lot of people went to the polls, voted for Biden, and then had like voter regret. So the Democrats, it's like they basically want the Wild West during these voting times, during these elections. They want an anything goes election. No deadlines, no restrictions, no checks, no safeguards in place. So it's tough to sit here, of course it is, and confirm some of these cheating theories that are out there. But honestly, the truth is right in front of us, that the Democrats in some of these states have set up a no-lose situation where it is impossible for them to lose unless the Republicans, again, get a lot better at playing this game. Now, there is a new poll that is out today, a couple of stories, and I'm going to give you the highlights. But it tells you where the American people are on trusting this election and whether or not there was any integrity in this election. Now, one of the things that it shows is that 79% of Donald Trump supporters simply do not buy the results of the 2020 race. Now, you can sit here and say, well, that's just a bunch of conspiracy theories. You can say all kinds of things. But the truth is, when 79% of Trump supporters don't buy the results of the 2020 race, it's not because they're a bunch of conspiracy theorists. It means that they have heard the stories. They've seen the stories. And they're wondering if there is any truth to these allegations. That is up to Sidney Powell and some of these other folks on the Trump team to prove. See, that's the thing. You've got a whole bunch of folks out here in America, and we're looking at all of the evidence that's out there right now. We do have affidavits, and we have videos and some of these other things that were taken on election night. But this evidence does have to be irrefutable. So here's my thing, just to let you know where I'm at as a talk show host and a guy who is a conservative. I don't necessarily buy the results of the 2020 race. I'm all about trusting but verifying. You know, I believe that for the Trump campaign, I believe that there was a lot of things that were stacked against the president. We could talk about social media and the media generally speaking, and about how they most certainly colluded with the Democrats to do whatever they could to protect Joe Biden and to attack Donald Trump. I mean, that has been going on for 4 years. So there's such a preponderance of evidence out there that there is all of these different entities that have been doing everything they could to promote Joe Biden and protect Joe Biden and attack Donald Trump. I mean, the whole situation, the whole conversation with Hunter Biden, for example, and how that is a legit story. That is a legit story. I mean, you've got evidence, you've got a laptop, you've got witnesses, you've got business associates, you've got emails. That was collusion, to say the least, where you had all of the social media companies and you had the progressives. You had some of the mainstream, most of the mainstream media that also refused to report this story. And it is a legit story. So part of the reason why there's 79% of Trump supporters not buying the results of the 2020 race is it's not just about the election. It's about everything that we've seen over the past 4 years. And it's all culminated into this moment in time. 62% of Trump supporters simply say they do not accept the results. A majority of all parties agree that they do want President Trump to call for unity. Now, the question is, and I'll get into this in a minute, but what exactly is the definition of unity? And 2/3 of Republicans want the president to run again in 2024. You know, I was one of the first guys that said, what if Trump loses? He could run again. But will the conservatives, will the Republicans want him to run again? Mike Pence, by the way, is also on the list of favorites to run amongst conservatives. And I'm here to tell you that would be a really, really awkward family battle if it was a primary with Donald Trump and Mike Pence. And I just don't know how you could do that. I don't know how these two could attack each other. But listen, stranger things have happened in politics, friends. The phone number is 866-90-RED-EYE, 866-907-3339. Let's go to Mike in Chicago on Red Eye Radio. Mike, appreciate you calling in. Go ahead.
You know, you covered a lot more things than the most talk show hosts. You mentioned things that there's a lot of things that show up here that there's no proof for. I spent the day going through Giuliani's, looking at what he took to court. As an attorney, he should have been ashamed to walk into court with that.
Oh, are we talking, Mike, hold on. Are we talking about Giuliani, or who are we talking about?
Yeah, I'm talking about Giuliani. I'm talking about with the election, with what he took into court, the place from the judge. He swore he had affidavits, but there was no one to testify against any of these affidavits. He told the judge he wasn't bringing up voter fraud. It was terrible how they prepared to go into court. But you covered it a minute ago. Call cheating what you want, and it has been. Democrats played a different game. Republicans going to learn how to play the game with them this next time, because that's the only way they're going to do it. Because the chance of, I haven't seen anything. I did see five names of people that was dead that voted,
right.
But then also all five of them showed up alive. So I mean, I was a Barry Goldwater Republican. I've done 30 years in the military, and so I mean, and then a Ronald Reagan Republican. So now I consider myself conservative and. But we got to have some proof. We go to court.
Mike, and that's the thing, and I agree with you. See, I'm a Trump supporter, and this is the interesting battle that's going on within conservative circles, where you have someone like me who is obviously a talk show host, and I comment on things. what I found is that if you have the audacity as a conservative to say what Mike just said and what I say, which is, listen, we just need proof. We need concrete evidence. That is what we need. Otherwise, these are just conspiracy theories. Now, I'm not going to say that these are conspiracy theories, but what I am saying is that if this evidence is not irrefutable, then Sidney Powell and some of these other folks, they have set up Trump supporters and people who are defending the president. You're setting them up to, frankly, look really bad, and you will betray that trust. And I don't want that. And neither does Donald Trump, which is why we really do need to ensure that if we're going to move forward with all of these lawsuits, and again, my monologue was that Sidney Powell is going to release the Kraken at some point in the next 24 hours. At least that's what she said. Let's say hello to Randy in Knoxville, Tennessee on Red Eye Radio. Randy, appreciate you calling in. Go ahead.
Well, thank you so much. I was telling the screener, it's out of our hands if you know, they can't turn it around for the Donald. And all you can do is just go ahead and try and get things set so next election round it's not going to be so blatantly easy to cheat. You know, it's just stupid to sit there and, you know, play checkers with a chess master.
Right.
What do you think?
Well, Randy, so let me ask you a question. First of all, sure. I do believe that this is all about future elections. What Sidney Powell is engaged in now is future elections. She wants to make sure that the elections in 2022, 2024 are going to have some sort of integrity. But let me ask you, Randy, give me a yes or no. You want to see Trump run again in 2024?
Oh, I'd love to see him run.
Yeah, we'll have to see what happens. After Joe Biden, after 4 years of Joe Biden, and Lord help us if the Democrats get the Senate, we'll have to see what happens there. But I do believe that Republicans will be fired up enough to usher in Donald Trump again in 2024. But again, I cringe. It is cringeworthy thinking about President Trump and Mike Pence in a primary. That would be brutal, and that would be not real uniting for the party. Let's just say that. Larry is in Illinois on Red Eye Radio. Larry, appreciate you calling in. Go ahead, sir.
Oh, thank you. I want to discuss Jana Ellis a little bit. Very interesting lady. Before she got on the Trump train, she was trying to wreck the Trump train back in 2016. I don't know if you've done any background checking on her. She's a very forthright, honest person. Mm-hmm. And the fact that she has come out on Trump's side, and I think she's also kind of on Sidney Powell's side, and I'm trying to look at, like, you know, lawyers are like foxes. They're always thinking, how can I get his attention over here so I can grab that chicken? And I think what's going on is they're going to get somebody excited or scared enough that they're going to spill their guts or jump out of a window or something.
Right. Well, Larry, I will say this, and I appreciate the call. A lot of folks in 2016 were anti-Donald Trump. I never was. I was never somebody who was anti-Trump. My comment when he announced that he was running was that he is really going to force some of these other Republicans in the primary to actually have a real engaged conversation about things like illegal immigration. But like a lot of conservatives, a lot of Republicans, Jana Ellis, she came around. And I think that's a testament to how hard President Trump has been working over the last 4 years. Dan Mandis right here on Red Eye Radio.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's 866-907-3339. Dan Mandison for Gary McNamara and Eric Carley. This is Red Eye Radio, and Steve is calling from Nashville. Steve, how are you? What's going on?
Oh, great. I just wanted to say I voted for Trump 4 years ago, but I didn't vote for him this time. I just don't understand how you can say there's 4 million conspiracy votes that Biden got that are not valid. And why is the FBI not presenting any evidence?
Hey, Steve.
Yeah.
When did I say there were 4 million votes that were missing? Or when did I specifically say that?
That's the general. He got 4 million more votes. But you're saying there's some vast conspiracy to cheat Trump out of the election. Why has there been no evidence presented to these Republican judges to verify that? Where's all the big hidden people that brought up all these hidden votes? I mean, people that all votes should be counted, whether they're mail-in or whatever they are. People have a right to vote in America when they're 18. Yeah. You're saying that we shouldn't count votes that are mail-in
Steve, you're gone. That's not even close to what I was saying, Steve, but that's okay. You can go on with your little fantasy there, but no, that's not what I'm saying. I do simply want proof. I want evidence. Steve apparently just wasn't listening real close, but yes, that is exactly what I want. I want proof. I want evidence. Otherwise, again, the Trump campaign and the Trump team, they need to bring irrefutable evidence to convince anyone and everyone that, yes, indeed, there was fraud in this election.
This hour's news is brought to you by Travel Centers of America, home of World Lens Coffee, the freshest roast on the road.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio with talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. For Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, Dan Mandis. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
Appreciate you being here. You can find out more about me on the Dan Mandis Show Facebook page. I'm also on Parler. I'm also on Twitter and Instagram as well. Yes, indeed, the phone number is 866-90-RED-EYE, 866-907-3339. And it's always a pleasure to be here on Red Eye Radio. So, Joe Biden, he's not president-elect yet. He is the presumptive president-elect, I guess you could say. Big news today. There's a whole bunch to talk about with Lester Holt and Joe Biden. Biden gave a, reasonably speaking, at least for Joe Biden, an in-depth interview on the news of the day. Now, part of the news of the day, as you know, not one, not two, but now three vaccines are on the way. We should be getting vaccines here in the next couple of months. And he was asked, okay, so now that a vaccine is here, Trump has said that first responders will be getting the vaccine first. You know, we've got to take care of the folks on the front line. So what is Joe Biden's plan? Well, he says that he is going to do the same thing after speaking with governors.
Who they think should go first, I think we should be focusing on, obviously, the docs, the nurses, those people who are the first responders.
Okay.
I think we should also be focusing on being able to open schools as rapidly as we can. I think it can be done safely. So there's a lot to work out in the next 2 months as to exactly how it will be distributed.
So one of the things I thought was interesting is that literally that is what Donald Trump has been trying to do. He has been working with the governors. He's been wanting to get the schools open right away. And so Biden says the same thing that President Trump has been looking to do. Yet Biden is the guy that has been running around the country saying that President Trump has no plan. So then Lester Holt asks him, okay, so what is your plan? And he's going to do the same thing that Donald Trump has been doing. You see how politics works? So then they spoke about mask mandates and how can Joe Biden use his power and influence, if he ends up in the White House, to get folks to wear a mask.
People are ignoring advice to stay home. They're crowding airports around the country right now. You've called for a national mask mandate. How much power as president will you have to influence people in ways you have not been able to as a candidate?
I hope as president and many of the Republicans. Republican governors and mayors felt the same way. I hope that we're going to be able to have a united voice on the need to mask, socially distance, testing, and tracing. They're critical, critical pieces to dealing with bringing down this virus in a more manageable place. The words of a president matter, and I think it's critically important. I think it's a patriotic responsibility to wear a mask, to socially distance.
So I'm not sure why I get so hostile at the whole thing about, you know, when Biden says, well, it's your patriotic duty to wear a mask. Really? Because I've been seeing over the last couple of months, especially in the last couple of weeks, story after story and study after study that shows that masks don't actually work all that well. But here's the deal. When it comes to these studies, please don't call and tell me, well, I've seen a study, because then I'm going to tell you, well, I've seen a study. So everybody's study, you know, seems to outweigh the other person's study. So whether masks work or not work, I don't really know. And to be perfectly honest with you, I don't think science knows either. So when Joe Biden's out there saying, oh, well, you've got to listen to the science, really? Well, which science would you like us to listen to? Because I've got, you know, dozens of science scientists who are out there saying that Fauci's wrong. I've got medical experts. I've got people who do this kind of research that will tell you that the mask mandates were an absolute disaster, even dangerous for some people. There's a story that we had a few weeks ago, where you had all of these counties that were saying, oh, look, we've got, you know, we've had these mask mandates, and now the numbers of coronavirus have gone down. Well, then they had to pull those studies. They had to say, oh, well, you know what? Never mind. You know why? Because they saw an increase in the number of coronavirus cases. In other words, for Biden or anybody else to say, oh, yeah, wearing a mask is going to work, wearing a mask is going to work, there's a lot of evidence that proves that wearing masks doesn't work. Now, I'm just going to tell you, in case you're just hearing me for the first time and you haven't heard my mask mantra, just give me 30 seconds. I wear a mask when I'm told to, if I need to go into a restaurant or if I need to go into a store and I need to buy something, if I need to live my life, if I need to go outside, then yes, I'll wear a mask. Now, part of my worry is that with these vaccinations coming up, that we're going to have a lot of these companies and a lot of these schools and other places that are going to say, you know what, if you don't have that vaccine, then you can't go to that concert, or you can't work for our company, or you can't come to our business, or you can't go into the mall, or you can't go to that ball game. I guarantee you that's about to happen. I think I saw, was it Qantas? I think it was some airline. I'll look it up. But some airline is now out there saying that you won't be allowed to fly if you don't have the vaccine. So that's a little worrisome. So all I'm saying is that for Biden to say, well, you got to do your patriotic duty and wear a mask. Really? I don't think so. Now, listen, the thing is, this all might be a moot point after the vaccines come out. But as relates to those vaccines, let me also say this, that there's also a lot of studies and stories that have now come out that will tell you that herd immunity or natural immunity is going to give us a lot more protection from the coronavirus than any vaccine will. And see, that's the problem. We've got three vaccines that are out right now, and one, we don't really know how effective it's really going to be, because oftentimes these things, they're not necessarily as advertised. They don't always live up to their billing. That's number one. Number two, how often are we going to have to redo or re-get these vaccines or get booster shots and whatever it is? So that's number two. There are stories and studies out there that are now showing that as we are roughly a year out from the coronavirus here in America, that the natural or herd immunity, that is something that will actually last years, far beyond anything a vaccine would do. So I'm just here to tell you, I'm not going to argue about masks. I'm also not going to argue about vaccines, and I'm not going to argue about herd immunity. I've got my opinion. You've got yours. And just like, you know, other great debates across America, I'm not going to change your mind, and you're not going to change my mind. But I am here to tell you that there are other opinions beside the opinion of Anthony Fauci and the CDC. You know, you had Lester Holt, and he's asking Biden, he's saying, well, why aren't people listening to the CDC? Oh, for the love of all that is holy, people are actually traveling and going to see their families on Thanksgiving. Well, the CDC, how many times have they changed their guidance? How many times have they put out contradictory guidance? Now, we can also talk about the science community, and they are always putting out contradictory statements and studies. And that's part of what I'm saying. For every Dr. Fauci, there's a dozen people that are scientists that are equally as educated that have differing opinions. And everybody's got one. A few of the other highlights that Biden said to Lester Holt says he will not use the Department of Justice to investigate the president. He also says that the middle class and the working class are being crushed, and that's going to be his focus. Now, that's okay, except one of the things that he wants to do is raise everybody's taxes. He wants to raise the taxes of corporations. And what that's going to do is that's going to eliminate jobs. So you can say that you're going to try to help the middle class and the working class all you want. But if you're going to raise taxes on the people that hire them, thereby eliminating their jobs, well, Joe, that's going to be a problem. And there have been, I can't tell you how many people have, how many economists have come out and said, yeah, that's the wrong way to go. He said that the president was rightly impeached. He wants to give citizenship to some 11 million illegal aliens. He wants to focus on a coronavirus relief package. You might want to talk to Nancy Pelosi about that. And he wants to erase everyone's college debt. All of that in the first 100 days. So it's going to be an action-packed 100 days if Joe Biden ends up in the White House. By the way, speaking of the White House, it was a great day for President Trump.
Well, thank you very much. And I just want to congratulate everybody. The stock market, Dow Jones Industrial Average, just hit 30,000, which is the highest in history. We've never broken 30,000. And that's just despite everything that's taken place with the pandemic. I'm very thrilled with what's happened on the vaccine front. That's been absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
Nothing like that has ever happened medically, and I think people are acknowledging that, and it's having a big effect. But the stock market's just broken 30,000. Never been broken, that number. That's a sacred number, 30,000. Nobody thought they'd ever see it. That's the ninth time since the beginning of 2020. And it's the 48th time that we've broken records in during the Trump administration. And I just want to congratulate all the people within the administration that work so hard. And most importantly, I want to congratulate the people of our country, because there are no people like you. Thank you very much, everybody. Thank you.
And off he went. And the media, they just went apoplectic because the president wasn't going to answer any questions. And so now you've got some folks out there that are covering the president that are saying, well, he didn't answer any questions. Well, the reason why he didn't answer any questions is because he knew what those questions would be. But part of what the president is trying to do is he's trying to, for the record, say, okay, so on this day, you know, yesterday, November 24th, we had three vaccines now come to the forefront. All of these happened during the Trump administration, and he wanted to state for the record that the Dow Jones was up over 30,000, closing, as a matter of fact, at 30,046. Not so bad for a guy who Joe Biden says had no plan to deal with the coronavirus. The phone number for Red Eye Radio, 866-90-RED-EYE, that's 866-907-3339. Got a lot more straight ahead.
Tips from J.J. Keller and Associates Incorporated on night driving. High beams. Glare from headlights, especially high beams, can cause problems for drivers. You probably know that high beam headlights should only be used when it's safe and legal to do so. They should also be dimmed within 500 to 1,000 feet of an oncoming vehicle or within 500 feet of a vehicle being followed. If an oncoming vehicle is using its high beam headlights, try looking at the white line on the right side of the road instead of directly at the lights. This will offer some protection from the glare and enable the driver's eyes to adjust more quickly once the vehicle has passed. This tip was brought to you by J.J. Keller and Associates Incorporated. Visit us at jjkeller.com.
This report is brought to you by National Truck Protection and Premium 2000 Plus, the number one selling aftermarket truck warranties in North America, available at thousands of used truck dealers everywhere.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
Red Eye Radio, Dan Mandis in for Gary McNamara and Derek Harley. The phone number is 866-90-RED-EYE, 866-907-3339. Man, so much going on today. Sydney Powell has now come out, and she has said that she is getting ready to release the Kraken in Georgia. She was on with Lou Dobbs earlier today, and this is what she had to say.
When shall we expect your lawsuit?
Well, I think no later than tomorrow. It's just going to be, it's a massive document, and it's going to have a lot of exhibits.
And who will be the defendant or defendants?
The defendants are going to be folks in Georgia who are responsible for supposedly making sure the elections in Georgia are done properly. And there are just countless incidents of voter fraud and election fraud writ large in Georgia.
All right. So she is going after Georgia specifically. Not real surprising. Pennsylvania certified Joe Biden earlier today. Michigan a couple of days ago. And Jim is in Chicago on Red Eye Radio. Jim, appreciate you calling in. Go ahead, sir.
Hi. Great show. I wanted to talk about more about Sidney Powell and some of the things I've heard about on the show so far. And I just wanted to say that given I voted for Trump and I wasn't conceding myself even until I heard some of these stories that have come out in some of her interviews. And I know she's a nationally recognized attorney. She's very successful. And she's put herself in a position where I actually believe in her now because she's either going to be the person that possibly saves President Trump's second term or she's going to be looked at as someone who's just a national disgrace almost that she didn't come through with what she said she had. And I think that she's smart enough to realize before she puts her name on the line that she's going to have some proof. And I think she's going to come through with it. And I think she's probably going to want to just surprise everybody and just drop a bomb on everybody and say, here, look what I got. And when she wins it and if she does something in Georgia, I think it's just going to go from state to state because if it is due to these election machines, right, there's got to be not a paper trail, but a trail for them to follow where they can find out what's been done, how these votes have been added, what's been changed, something that's happened possibly. And I think that we might be very surprised.
Well, and you know, Jim, we'll have to wait and see what happens. One of the things that I've been saying all along is, you know what? Just bring the evidence. But it's got to be so irrefutable that even the naysayers will say, okay, you caught us. And Jim, by the way, you are absolutely right. Because if they can prove that there were Dominion voting machine issues in Georgia, then yes, that can sort of, explode. And they start looking at some of these other states and where they also use Dominion. And if they can prove that this is something that is Dominion oriented and something more widespread, well, then, yeah, she's perhaps will have the goods. We'll have to wait and see what happens. And I appreciate the call. Denny is in Montreal, Canada on Red Eye Radio. Denny, how are you, sir?
Very good. How are you?
I'm okay. Go ahead.
Good to hear you guys. I have to tell you that since you are talking about the machines, I also wanted to address that gentleman, Steve, who called, who was saying that every vote needs to be counted. I agree with him, but they have to be legal votes. But that's besides the point. These machines, the important machines, the main reason that the elections were lost is if you look at throughout the country, the Republicans did very well. They actually had a near red wave, if not a red wave. There certainly was no blue wave.
Oh no, there was not even any blue ripple. I mean, it was clear. Yeah, exactly. That, you know, they lost seats in the House, and they did not regain the Senate, majority in the Senate, at least not yet. We'll have to wait and see what happens in the runoff. But right.
The important thing is that people are looking at it as if the whole country was attacked by these machines. Now, these machines, I know a little bit about them because they're actually one of the main offices in Toronto, in Canada. Mm-hmm. And our country does not use any electronic machinery to count votes. No, as I know it now, no Western democracy that's important uses those machines or machines like them. They have infiltrated themselves in countries that were always a little bit shaky and had.
Well,
so
I mean, America
beyond.
Uses these machines. Danny, America uses them.
Yeah, well, this is you know, America's been brainwashed to use the machine. They've been tricked into it. And I'm afraid that America might also be tricked into giving up their arms. And, you know, the first thing you tell a leftist is that, you know, the civil war that happened in Greece after World War II happened and lasted far longer than Hitler's attack on Greece and on the world. And there was people fighting on both sides. And when the left finally lost, they lost, they obviously had to lose. But when did the leftist leaders get executed?
I appreciate the call. We'll leave it there. And coming up next, well, what did Elizabeth Warren and Amy Klobuchar say about the voting machines that we're talking about right now?
Phone lines are open. 1-866-907-3339. 866-90-RED-EYE. Now, for Gary McNamara and Eric Hartley, here is Dan Mandis.
Phone number indeed, 866-90-RED-EYE, 866-907-3339. So these Dominion voting machines, let's not forget that four congressional Democrats sent a letter to the owners of Dominion, including Amy Klobuchar and Elizabeth Warren. The letter was about switching votes, undisclosed vulnerabilities, improbability results that threaten the integrity of our elections, and here's part of what they wrote to Dominion. In 2018 alone, voters in South Carolina were reporting machines that switched their votes after they'd inputted them. Scanners were rejecting paper ballots in Missouri. Busted machines were causing long lines in Indiana. The letter reads, in addition, researchers recently uncovered previously undisclosed vulnerabilities in nearly three dozen back-end election systems in 10 states. And just this year, they said, after the Democratic candidate's electronic tally showed, he received 164 votes out of 55,000 cast in a Pennsylvania state judicial election in 2019, the county's Republican chairwoman said nothing went right on election day. Everything went wrong, and that is a problem. Now, what's changed? What's changed between 2018 and 2020? Well, obviously the candidates, right? So in 2018, you've got the Democrats, and they're still smarting from what happened in 2016 with President Trump. So in 2018, yes, they are questioning the integrity of the vote. How possibly could Donald Trump have won this election if not for the cheating and the collusion with the Russians and the voting machines and the the ballots being switched and all these other things? Well, here's the problem. The problem is you can't sit here and say, well, in 2018, there were all kinds of problems. And then in 2020 say, oh, there were no problems in this election. Are you kidding? This is America. And we don't have problems with our election. They have nothing but credibility when Joe Biden is the perceived winner. And that's also something that the media wants. And that's something that social media wants as well. And that's part of this conversation as well, is social media and the media. And when you talk about what's going on with Dominion, and you speak about what the president and Sidney Powell and Jenna Ellis and Rudy Giuliani are saying, and the accusations that have been flying, realize there's a number of different things that are going on as far as the corruption goes. There is the hacking of these voter machines, or the using of these voter machines to affect the vote, to utilize these machines to switch the votes from Trump to Biden. Then we have the ballot dumps. Then we have all the rules that were changed over the last year or so, including mail-in balloting, ballot dumps. They stopped the counting, then they started the counting again. There wasn't the appropriate oversight that was supposed to be allowed to the Trump campaign. Instead, they kept them many, many feet away. And so all of these things are adding up to what looks to me like a lot of corruption. And so one of the things, though, that the media will do, and social media will do as well, just like if you say, well, wait a minute, I'm not so sure if a mask mandate is the right answer. I'm not sure if a vaccine is the right answer. Well, then you are a COVID denier. You are a mask hole. You are, you know, the whatever they'll call you, but that's what they do. Or they'll call you a conspiracy theorist. These are all things that the Democrats do. They immediately try to discredit you by calling you names, by calling you a conspiracy theorist. So there's a lot of things that have been going on, and I think this is one of those stories where, yet again, it is clear that there was a concerted effort, a collusion, if you will, between social media and the media to discredit anyone who is calling into question the integrity of the vote. Now, listen, I'm not saying that there was absolute fraud. I myself, Dan Mandis, I cannot prove that. I'm a talk show host. That's up to the Trump campaign to prove. Now, do I believe the people that say that there was fraud? Yeah, I do. Because I've seen everything that's been going on for the last year or so with the politicization of COVID and all the other things that we've been talking about. So at least for me, you can call me conspiracy theorist all you want and all these other things. You're not going to convince me that there wasn't fraud. Again, it is up to Sidney Powell, and apparently she's going to be bringing forward a lawsuit in Georgia, perhaps at some point today, and we'll have a lot more answers. She is going to, as she promised to do, she's going to blow up Georgia, and we'll be able to find out if there's any truth to these theories that there was a lot of fraud and corruption and, you know, all the other things that the president and Sidney Powell and the Trump campaign have been alleging. The phone number is 86690-RED. I want to say hello to Lizelle in Sholo, Arizona. Hey, Lizelle, what's going on?
Hey, I'm enjoying your show immensely.
Thank you very much. I'm a full-time truck driver.
I'm 77 years old. And I started driving in 1963 when I got out of the Army.
Wow.
And I've seen a lot of changes. And back in the old days, we used to cheat on our logs so that we could make more money. But over the years, it got easier to cheat because with the electronic devices, you could go into them and cheat. And if you, all you had to have was a code number, and you go in there and you could change your whole trip. And you didn't have to do all that paperwork over and over and over. So it got easier
right.
to cheat. And so it's got easier for because of technology, it's got easier for these politicians to cheat, which they're really good at. And as far as Arizona goes, our IT people out here are a little bit quicker than they are in those other states, Michigan, Wisconsin, Georgia, Pennsylvania. The down ballot people over there got elected, and the up ballot didn't
right.
in those states. But in Arizona,
right.
the down ballot got elected along with the up ballot. And the reason for that is that the algorithm that they put in these things, nowadays you can change the outcome of this information in seconds. You can change the vote count in seconds.
Yeah.
Back in the old days, you couldn't.
Well, and let me tell you something, Lizelle. There are a lot of accusations. And when people call up and they say, well, you know, this can happen and that can happen, trust me when I say, I understand what the allegations are. I also understand that there are people out there that have, you know, said that these machines can be hacked. There's a guy, and doggone it, I forget his name. I want to say he's out of Michigan. I'll have to look it up. But he's one of the leading voices that's been out there, and he's been saying these machines can be manipulated. These machines can be hacked. And one of the things that's so interesting, isn't it, is that for years and years, the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal and NPR and a lot of these, I mean, CBS came out with a big thing where for many years, they spoke about absentee balloting and how there is a concern with fraud and how credible the elections will be if there's an abundance of mail-in balloting or absentee voting, these kinds of things. And so for a lot of years, really ever since we started doing this, there have been these concerns. And the media has been upfront and honest about these concerns. Washington Post, New York Times, again, all of these various media outlets have been saying the same thing. Then all of a sudden, President Trump says, well, wait a minute, we're going to do mass mail-in balloting? And you really think that this is going to be a fair and credible election with integrity? Of course it's not. Well, then, you know, cue the screaming media that's going to say, well, look at President Trump. He's trying to, you know, get away with stealing the election and he's trying to suppress the vote. The same media who for years has been calling into question the security of our elections because of mail-in balloting and absentee voting and some of these other things, because it can be manipulated. It's all about the candidate. It's all about a hatred for President Trump. 866-90-RED-EYE. That's 866-90-RED-EYE. James is in Wilmington, North Carolina on Red Eye Radio. James, how are you?
I'm doing good. Enjoying the show. I work nights. I'm in a form of law enforcement, so I work long nights, and you keep me sane. But what I wanted to call in about was, I mean, I hear you talking about we want to see the evidence and all that. And yeah, everybody does. But I want to, you know, touch on Rudy Giuliani and Sidney Powell. These are two people. I mean, Rudy Giuliani figured out how to use the RICO Act to bring down the mafia.
Yes.
He was the first one to do it. These people have stellar reputations, and I just don't see them as being the type of people that would put their credibility on the line unless they saw something. You know, Kayleigh McEnany said she had 234 pages of sworn affidavits and 11,000 incident reports.
Yep.
That kind of data takes so long to go through. Right. I really think that Sidney Powell is trying to hold back what she has, because I've read that a couple of attorneys backed out because they got threatened. You know, so we're in like a fascistic society now where it's like we've got the brown shirts that are going to shout you down, and then we're going to threaten your family if you don't do what we said.
Well, and James, you are right on a couple of fronts. One is what you said about the Democrats. You are right. And I've got a horrifying example coming up. But that's number one. Number two is you bring up a point that I've been making for the past several weeks, and that is I know we do all want to see the evidence. However, she can't just go on, you know, with all due respect to Tucker Carlson, she can't just go on Tucker Carlson and say, yes, here's my evidence, and go through all of that evidence on television. Because then what that does is that gives the other side the opportunity to, you know, erase their tracks, to clear their tracks. So you've got to sometimes save your bullets, if you will, for when you go and file your lawsuit. Because once you file that lawsuit, then it's on record. And the people who are involved
they don't necessarily know what's coming. So you can't always just say, yes, everyone, here is all my evidence. And then the people or the places or the machines or the whatever it is that you're targeting, if they know that you're on their tail or their trail, well, then guess what? They do have the ability to cover their tracks. And so I do understand that aspect of it, that element of it, and I appreciate the fact that you brought it up. It's at 690 Red Eye. We'll return next. This is Dan Mandis on Red Eye Radio.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
Dan Mandison for Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, and Tom is in Anchorage, Alaska on Red Eye Radio. Tom, what's going on?
Oh, yes. I would just like to point out that Dr. Anthony Fauci has been wrong more often than he's been right. I remember in 1985 in June when I was graduating from medical school, he predicted confidently that within 5 years we'd have a safe and effective HIV vaccine. Mm. Here is 35 years later, and we are still waiting. So he's been wrong a lot, including 6.5 million, I believe he predicted 6.5 million dead in the United States alone from COVID-19.
Well, the thing about Fauci is, one, is he changes his story a lot. Number two is he makes these statements that I think are just infuriating, like, well, you know, Christmas isn't going to be able to happen, or Thanksgiving just can't happen. It's like, who the hell are you to tell us what we can and cannot do? And I think that part of the angst with a lot of people have for Anthony Fauci is the fact that he just seems to be the lone voice out there. And there's a lot more voices than just Anthony Fauci. And I appreciate the call. I was, speaking earlier in this hour about how, you give me one Anthony Fauci, that's all fine and well. But for each Fauci, I've got two or three other people that disagree with what Fauci says. And again, I appreciate the call. Jason is in Chicago on Red Eye Radio. Jason, how are you?
Good. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it. Go ahead.
I just want to say if there is no evidence on January 20th and Trump is out, can you look back at this period as a huge lie by the Trump administration?
I would. And you know what? I'm going to tell you, Jason, I don't know if you're looking for a fight. I'm not going to fight you.
No, I'm not.
Because that is a legit question. Here's my answer to that real quick. My answer to that is, if the allegations are not true, I wouldn't call it a lie. I would say that they were allegations. The president had his suspicions, and those suspicions turned out, if this turns out not to be true, those suspicions turned out not to be true. But I think the investigation does need to happen, and I appreciate the call.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now it's Red Eye Radio with talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. For Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, Dan Mandis. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
Appreciate you listening. You can find out more about me on the Dan Mandis Show Facebook page. I'm on Instagram, Twitter, Parler, something called MeWe now. I can't keep them all straight. But I am here right now with you at 866-90-RED-EYE. So there's a lot going on. I love this story. We all know what's going on in Georgia, right? We've got these two runoff elections. And one of the things that we've found, and it's a big conversation that's going on within the Democrat Party. Now, I don't know why this is a big conversation, but it is. Did the progressive wing of the Democrat Party cost them seats Bottom line to that answer is yes. I mean, they lost, what, 12 or so seats, I think four in California. And you've got all of these moderate Democrats who are pointing their fingers, their crooked little fingers, right at Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Ilhan Omar, Ayanna Pressley, Steve Cohen in Memphis, and some of these other activists, some of these other progressives that are driving the ever-loving Democrats just crazy. And so David Perdue, he is running in this runoff election in Georgia. Very, very important because, you know, it's going to be like a firewall. The Republicans, they really do need to hold Georgia in the Senate race so that they can keep their majority in the Senate. And so if they end up losing both of these runoff races in January, well, then Kamala Harris is the tiebreaker and the Democrats will own the Senate. And that's very bad news. As a matter of fact, I saw that they got, what, 750,000? Yeah, that's right. 750,000 requests for mail-in ballots. So that's what the word is coming out of Atlanta, or coming out of Georgia. So David Perdue, he is a part of all this. And I love this story because it's just funny. Republican Senator David Perdue on Tuesday invited New York Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez to come on down to Georgia and campaign for his Democratic opponent. How funny is that? See, he knows, and they know, the Republicans know, that AOC, she is absolutely toxic. And that's why Joe Biden, my opinion is, he doesn't want anything to do with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. As a matter of fact, it's my opinion that Biden wants the Republicans to rule the Senate, because I think that he does not want to deal with the pressure of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez or Ayanna Pressley or Ilhan Omar or some of these other progressives. He doesn't want to deal with that. So Biden, he is desperate, I would say. He is desperate for the Republicans to win in Georgia. And he wants the Republicans to rule the Senate so that he doesn't have to become a progressive and he doesn't have to deal with the pressure from the likes of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and some of these other folks. I would be willing to bet that Nancy Pelosi, even though they'll both say that they really want the Democrats to rule the Senate, I actually don't think that they do, because that means that they would have to deal with AOC and the progressives. It's much easier for Biden. I don't know about Pelosi, but it's much easier for Biden to say, you know, I would love to do that, you know, pack the Supreme Court or, you know, banish the Electoral College. I would love to do that, but I just can't, you know, because the Republicans, they rule the Senate. So I just can't possibly do that. If the Democrats get a hold of the Senate, then good Lord, I mean, who knows what they're going to do? But we do know that they would end up packing the Supreme Court. They would end up banishing the Electoral College. They would do any number of things that would stack the deck against the Republicans even more than it already has. And so David Perdue, he knows that the Democrat Party, unlike the Republican Party, by the way, the Democrat Party, They are fractured like I've never seen before. I mean, I do understand that when Donald Trump came onto the scene for the Republicans in 2016, the Republican Party was fractured. Well, I think the Republican Party on its worst day is nothing like the Democrats right now. The incumbent senator, according to Fox News, who is facing off against John Ossoff in a heated January 5th runoff election, appeared to want to speak to the lefty congresswoman about her support of the Green New Deal. Absolutely right. I love what he said. He says, I want to buy her a ticket. I want her to come, Perdue said on Fox News and Fox and Friends. Perdue and his fellow GOP incumbent, Senator Kelly Loeffler, are battling Democratic challengers in a pair of high-stakes runoff elections that could, it will, determine which party takes control of the Senate in January. So here's the thing. What's going to happen is you have these Democrats, and one of the things that they're trying to do is they're trying to obfuscate who they really are and what their party is all about. See, I think the Democrat Party will magically morph into whatever it is that they're going to morph into, depending on what happens in Georgia. Because if the Democrats lose in Georgia, thereby they will not have a majority in the Senate, then what they're going to do is they're going to become more moderate. And it'll match Joe Biden. But if they win the Senate and they win that majority, then they will become even more progressive as a party. So the big raging debate that's going on right now within the Democrat Party is AOC, is she good for the party or not? Ilhan Omar, are they good for the party or not? That's the big debate that is raging right now, going on not only in Georgia, but also all across America. And I do believe, by the way, I do believe that for the Democrats, I think that this has been a terrible election here in 2020. Because think about all that they were expected to do, right? High expectations can be your worst enemy. And so they were supposed to get even more of a majority in the House. They were supposed to absolutely take over the Senate. There was going to be no possible way that the Republicans could maintain control in the Senate because the American people, they were so incredibly angry at Lindsey Graham and Brett Kavanaugh. In all the judges that the president was able to get through with the help of Lindsey Graham. And so the American people, they were going to make Lindsey Graham and the Republicans pay. Well, it didn't happen. The blue wave never happened. It wasn't even a blue ripple. And the Republicans shocked the you-know-what out of many people on both sides of the aisle and the media. And I'm sure that Eric and Gary, I'm sure that they've spoken about the losers in all of this. Yeah, the polling companies, the media, Hollywood, the Democrats, generally speaking, yes, they lost big time because the expectations were so incredibly high. And you can point to three words that cost the Democrats dearly. Defund the police. That's what happened to the Democrats. They kept pushing this narrative courtesy of AOC, defund the police. And the more that they utilized that term, the more the Republicans used it against the Democrats. And that's what happened. And so now we have all of this finger pointing going on within the Democrat Party as everybody tries to figure out what in the world just happened. And I'll tell you what happened. AOC. And she got too big for her britches, and she started believing her own media. The people in her district, for whatever reason, keep voting for her. And so now the Democrats have to deal with her. And so David Perdue, like most people, understand that it is to the Republicans' benefit that she just keep talking. You know, there was a time, it was interesting, actually, over the past couple of years, how many times people, Republicans, have said, good God, AOC, just quit talking. Just quit talking. I want her to continue to speak because the more that she continues to speak, the more she defines what the Democrats are all about. And again, that is not a bad thing, folks. The phone number is 866-90-RED-EYE. That's 866-90-RED-EYE. Want to welcome on into the program. Carrie is calling from Chicago. Carrie, thank you very much for calling in. Go ahead, sir, or ma'am. Not sure which one.
Yeah, besides the corruption of the election process, Trump lost a lot of votes because of the harassment of the news media. And I just want everybody, I'll never watch CBS, NBC, or WLS channels ever again. And I won't buy products they advertise. And I hope you'll all please pass that on.
All right, Carrie, thank you very much for that. As long as you still listen to Red Eye Radio, will you still listen to us?
Of course. I usually don't stay up this late, though.
Okay, well, very good. Well, Gary and Eric will be glad that you're a new listener and very appreciative of the call. Thank you very much. Let's see here. Ray in Albany has been holding for a while. Ray, thank you for holding on. Go ahead, sir.
Good morning, Dan. Excellent show. I believe that Sidney Powell's got a slam dunk case. from what I've heard from her, plus a computer tech. And the computer tech was hired to do some research on that voting machine. And he read the owner's manual over the whole weekend. And he said, even in the owner's manual, it tells you that this thing has high probability for fraud. And he said that there's a password administrator that controls the password and can program this computer to do whatever you want it to do. And then he also said, yes, you can go in there and clean up the audit and then cover your footprint so that you can show that you wasn't even in there to change things. So, and then Sidney Powell, what she had done, she's got a person that helped sell this machine to Hugo Chavez. This person was there with Hugo Chavez and witnessed the selling points of this machine.
Well, and I'll say this, Ray, and I appreciate the call. One of the things that I would say is there are a lot of allegations out there. There are a lot of YouTube videos out there. And trust me when I say, friends, I get probably 3 or 4 dozen messages a day, whether it's email, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, you name it. Dozens every single day. And I do appreciate them. Please don't get me wrong. But these videos of people who I don't know if they're experts. I don't know if they know what they're talking about. But I do understand there's a lot of videos out there. There's a lot of accusations out there. And I never really know. And this is, you know, this is part of my frustration sometimes is I don't know who to believe. I don't know who's credible. I have a number of people that are vloggers and bloggers and these kinds of things and columnists and journalists. So I have my select few that I follow passionately to see where they are on a given issue because I trust their opinion and I trust the information that they give. And I appreciate the fact that there are so many videos out there of people on, again, YouTube and Parler and all that. But for me, I do need a lot of evidence from Sidney Powell and from the Trump campaign and the Trump administration. Do I believe that the evidence is out there? I do believe that the evidence is out there. My name is Dan Mandis. This is Red Eye Radio.
This is the Marketplace Minute. I'm Justin Ho. Stocks closed higher Tuesday. The Dow jumped 1.5%, crossing 30,000 for the first time ever. The S&P gained 1.6%, and the NASDAQ added 1.3%. Consumer confidence fell slightly in October, according to the Conference Board. The drop is a sign that people are getting nervous as COVID-19 cases rise and new restrictions take effect across the U.S. Best Buy reported that sales are up 23% from the same time a year ago. Its customers are buying a lot of work-from-home gear and spending a lot on entertainment. A Best Buy executive said it's difficult to tell how long those shopping trends will last. The food and spice company McCormick says it's buying the hot sauce company Cholula for $800 million in cash. McCormick already owns the Frank's Red Hot brand. I'm Justin Ho with the Marketplace Minute.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
Red Eye Radio, Dan Madison, Gary McNamara, and Eric Harley. Appreciate you being here. 866-90-RED-EYE, 866-907-3339. Coming up after the bottom of the hour here, I'm going to tell you about a story of a guy in Michigan, and he was the lone Michigan canvasser whose basic quote today made a lot of headlines. Whoever threatens the most wins. And he was absolutely right. We'll talk about him coming up here in just a little bit on Red Eye Radio. But first, I want to get to some of these calls. A lot of folks have been waiting for a while. Terry is in Johnston, Pennsylvania. Hope I'm saying that right, on Red Eye Radio. Hey, Terry.
Hey, hello.
Go ahead.
You there?
Yes, sir.
Okay,
go ahead.
I want to know why. I live in Johnstown. Okay, when I voted, I walked into the booth. They give you a paper ballot. You filled it out. The gentleman escorted me to the machine. It scanned it. He showed me there was a USB drive. When it was done, it beeped. He said, you've been recorded. Your ballot goes down into the steel box. After 8 p.m., they come and get them. Pittsburgh, Harrisburg, Philadelphia used the Dominion system. Why can't they keep one system to do all the votes like I did? 5 seconds, I was in and out of that bowling place.
Right. Well, yeah, I think Terry, that's a state decision, and maybe it's obviously if you use two different voting machines in Pennsylvania, then I think that it was, maybe a county decision or a district decision, depending on where you are. But one of the things that I noticed is that you've got the media saying, well, there's no examples of any, quote, widespread voter fraud, but you don't have to have widespread voter fraud to steal an election. You've got to focus on certain counties in certain battleground states. That's all you got to do to steal an election. I'm not saying that this election was stolen. I definitely have my opinions on the matter of fraud in this election. I've been stating this all night. I also talk about it often when I'm on my Monday through Friday show in Nashville, Tennessee. You can hear me 1 to 4 on Super Talk 99.7 WTN Eastern Time if you'd like to listen. But I'll tell you what, I've got a lot of suspicions, and you're right. Some of these things that we're hearing, simply put, don't make sense. And that's why, as we've been speaking about all night, Sidney Powell does need to come with the evidence. And supposedly she's going to come later today with a lawsuit in Georgia. Ben is in Plano, Texas, right here on Red Eye Radio. Ben, what's going on?
I was just calling about the idea that people are saying Trump should run in 4 years from now. But I don't think he should. I think he ought to groom his daughter, Ivanka, for 4 years to run as vice president with Mike Pence as the president.
You know, let me tell you something. That I don't know if Ivanka wants to stay in politics. She's certainly had to deal with a lot over the last 4 years, and she's lost a lot of money and a lot of friends, unfortunately. So I don't know. I don't know if she'll stay in politics or not. But an interesting idea. I'm really interested in hearing what's going to happen with Donald Trump Jr. We've got a lot more straight ahead. Now, your national forecast.
Throughout your day today, we'll see a fair amount of shower activity stretching from Arkansas to southwestern Missouri and central Iowa all the way north to the Great Lakes region. There's a chance of a mix of rain and snow in northeast Kansas and eastern Nebraska. And additional rain and snow is likely across the Pacific Northwest and the northern Rockies. That's where a cold front entering the northwest will accompany that dicey weather through Thursday. Snowfall amounts of 6 to 12 inches are possible across the higher elevations of the Cascades, as well as mountain peaks in northern Iowa, and also in the region including Yellowstone National Park. Snow also likely on this day before Thanksgiving in parts of south-central New York and northeast Pennsylvania. Also, much of the weather along the East Coast will amount to showers and isolated thunderstorms. And by the way, if you are planning outdoor activities on Thanksgiving, temperatures are expected to cooperate in much of the country. In fact, above average temperatures will be found east of the Rockies with widespread highs in the 50s, 60s, even in the 70s. And there's a look at your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm Linda Kenyon.
Phone lines are open. 1-866-907-3339. 866-90-RED-EYE. Now, for Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, here is Dan Mandis.
So you know how we keep hearing the left say, oh, you just have to be unified. Yeah, well, here's a unity update for you coming out of Michigan. A Michigan canvassing board member, he wanted to delay the vote. And the reason why he wanted to delay the vote, this canvasser, they wanted to certify the election there for the state of Michigan. And he said, listen, there's a lot here. And at least for me, I'm not buying a lot of these votes right now. I want to look at the investigation. I want to look at some of these votes. I want to think about these voting machines. I really do need to look at a lot of this evidence and decide whether or not we should move forward with a vote. And so one of the things that I find interesting is that you have the left, and they're always screaming about unity, right? But the only time the left wants unity is if you agree with them. And can I just ask a question real quick? Can somebody please define what the heck unity means anyway? Because if Joe Biden is out there and the Democrats are out there saying, oh, we need to unify the country. Well, if that means that I need to be for open borders, third trimester abortions, larger government, alienating Israel, empowering Iran, I don't want to be unified. Do you remember way back when Rush Limbaugh, when Barack Obama, when he was voted into office, Obama, you know, and a lot of other folks got really upset when Rush said, I hope he fails. And everybody got just so crazy angry with Rush, you know, called him a racist and all these other things. And at the time, I knew exactly what Rush meant, because it's the same thing that I'm thinking here when I say, I hope Joe Biden fails. Well, it means that this is a guy who wants to give citizenship to 11 million illegal aliens. This is a guy who supports third trimester abortions. This is a guy who wants a bloated government. This is a guy who no doubt will do whatever he can to cozy up to Iran and China. So, yeah, I hope he fails. I do. And if that makes me a bad person, if that makes me un-American, well, okay. Then call me a bad person. Call me un-American. I'm not, because to me, what a good American is somebody that wants our sovereignty protected. A good American, a proud American, a great American is one that does appreciate our sovereignty, does recognize that our elections are one of the things that we do in this country that has to be fueled and filled with integrity and credibility. All of these things are what should unite us, but it doesn't. Who ever thought that wanting fair and incredible elections would be something in this country that would not unite us? Instead, it is dividing us like never before. See, that's what's going on. Is for me, as a guy who is looking at everything that's been going on over the past 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks, I'm looking at all of this, and it's clear that something happened in this election with mail-in ballots. I think it's full of fraud. And by the way, so did a lot of the media and the Democrats before this election. So all I'm saying here is, listen, I'm sure, let's all be united, but let's all be united in wanting elections that have some integrity. And you can't do that with a preponderance of millions of mail-in ballots. So when we talk about let's all be unified, because that's what, you know, the Democrats are trying to say, right? Oh, I want to be, Joe Biden will say, or Kamala Harris will say, well, we want to be an administration for all Americans, as long as you agree with everything that we stand for. Well, clearly, there's a lot of Americans that don't stand for what Joe Biden stands for. And if that means that we are not unified, well, okay, then we're not going to be unified. But so don't sit here and demand that I be unified, and don't sit here and demand and tell me that I need to wear a mask or I'm not patriotic enough, right? These are the kinds of tactics that the Democrats utilize. So if somebody would like to, please, if you could, can somebody please define for me what exactly does unity mean in this country? Because if that means that I have to agree with the policies of the left, well, then that's not going to work. And so when we speak about being unified in this country, and when we speak about what the media and the left, the Democrats, the mob mentality that's out there, what they are doing to innocent Americans, it is not only horrifying, but it's terrifying. And we've seen this over and over and over again, not only in this election, but in the previous 4 years of the Trump administration. So in Michigan, there is a canvassing board, and one of the Republicans on the board, Norm Schinkel is his name, and he abstained from the vote. And the reason is because of all of the election issues in Detroit. And so what he wanted to do was he wanted to just, you know, put a pause on certifying Michigan until they could figure out what the heck was going on, specifically in Wayne County. So old Norm decided to say, yeah, you know what, I'm going to abstain from my vote. You know what happened? Because it's the same story over and over again. He got eviscerated on social media. He abstained from voting, and so he ended up getting attacked. He had protesters on his front lawn, 30 protesters. And so the state, the canvassers, they ended up going ahead and certifying for Joe Biden. And so his exact quote was, "The mentality here in Michigan is whoever threatens the most wins." And isn't that all part of cancel culture? Isn't that what they do, where they just swarm and they do anything and everything they can to destroy unless you acquiesce to their every demand? So somebody tell me, please, how is that unifying the country? It's not. He wanted to delay the vote and certification so that he could hear the actual evidence. What he received was hundreds of calls and emails, 7,000 of them. As for the threatening phone messages, Schinkel told Newsmax, "The ones that mentioned my wife and my children or said, 'We know where you live,' he turned over to the police." And he says this is the Democrat Party. That's what he says. He says this has the Democrats written all over it. They called for people to harass, by the way, his brother's flower shop, who lived, 90 minutes away. So they ended up leaving really nasty Google reviews. One said, "Replace my order with one the florist wanted, even though I did everything correctly, said it was because I was black from Detroit and didn't know what I was doing." See, this, again, is the mentality of the left, of the mob. Did you hear what happened to Ricky Schroeder? Now, if you don't know who Ricky Schroeder is, right, he's the guy from Silver Spoons, the old TV show from, I guess, was it the 80s? And he, apparently, from what the story goes, Kyle Rittenhouse, you remember him, right? We've spoken about him before. He is the guy that killed two people, shot another in self-defense in Kenosha, Wisconsin. We all remember that story. So he's been in jail for a while now, and his bail was like, $2 million? And so Ricky Schroeder came out, and he helped him get bail. And I don't know why he would do this, but he actually allowed that fact to be known. He tweeted out a photograph of himself and Rittenhouse. So what do you think is going on now with Ricky Schroeder? I think he goes by Rick now. He is getting eviscerated by some of the other Hollywood types, and they're going after him. Big shocker on social media. Law enforcement sources are now telling TMZ deputies had to respond to a call from Ricky Schroeder over the weekend. They had to stop by his home to review various negative social media posts directed at the NYPD Blue actor. So I guess he went from Silver Spoons to NYPD Blue. Now, what they are saying is that they were not necessarily life-threatening, but some of the comments were pretty nasty. One person said, "TBH, to be honest, I thought he was dead. Would have been better," one person says. Another, "This was a racist move, pure and simple. And Ricky Schroeder can shove that silver spoon right up his own you-know-what." Don't you just feel unified? 866-90-RED-EYE. It's 866-90-RED-EYE. I want to say hello to Betty in Arlington, Texas on Red Eye Radio. Betty, go ahead. How are you?
Dan, with all due respect, I do not understand how you can say there's no evidence that you can believe in for voter fraud. The evidence is everywhere. And when I hear talk show hosts saying there's no evidence that they can confirm, I just shake my head.
Hold on, Betty. First of all, I appreciate that with all due respect. Always a sign that a passive aggressive comment is coming. And I appreciate it's fine. When did you hear me say that? I never said there was no evidence. As a matter of fact, I don't know how long you've been.
No,
Betty, hold on.
From people that you don't know.
Hold on, Betty. I don't know how long you've been listening, but I've been outlining all kinds of evidence that's out there. What I'm saying is Sidney Powell, is she going to bring enough evidence as it's related to Dominion to be able to change the direction of this election? That's what I've been saying, because I know, Betty, about the dead people voting. I know about the stopping the count in Atlanta due to a broken pipe that never happened. I know about how the Republicans were not granted the access to oversee the ballot counts in, I think it was in Pennsylvania and Georgia and a couple of other places as well. Again, the dead people. I know the double voting, the Republicans showing up to vote and being told that they were that they'd already voted via mail. I know about all that. What I'm saying, Betty, and then I'm going to let you speak. But with all due respect to you, I don't appreciate people putting words in my mouth. So I've been speaking about all of these things. But what Sidney Powell is talking about is about Dominion. And can she prove that Dominion has been either hacked or been utilized by the Democrats to steal the election? She's made a lot of accusations, Betty, but now what she needs to do is she needs to come forth with the evidence. And the example that I used earlier was, I can say that this person stole my car, and that's all fine, good, and well, but I need to prove it. Betty, go ahead. Thank you for indulging me.
Do you consider evidence Hunter Biden's laptop evidence?
Absolutely, I do.
This man is not fit to be president. This man should be in prison. He is dirty as they come.
Well, Betty, hold on, Betty. Listen, I agree with you, but we're talking about how you said that I said that there's no evidence. I agree with you. I don't believe that Joe Biden is fit for office either.
You did not specify Sidney Powell when you said no evidence. You said you get lots of YouTube videos from people that you don't know. You didn't specify Sidney Powell.
Well, okay. But, it's fine, Betty. So you heard, I think, a 30-second comment. I've been on the air for, you know, whatever. But I appreciate it, and I get it, and I'm with you, Betty. I do not think that Joe Biden is fit for office. I think he is corrupt. I think that he's got diminishing mental acuities, and I think that if he ends up in the Oval Office, then we're going to have a really tough putt. That is why we really need to protect the Senate, which is why I really need Sidney Powell to bring the evidence or unleash the Kraken later today, which is what I hope is going to happen. And Betty, I know that we've had some bad weather in Arlington this evening. I hope you're okay, and I appreciate the call. We'll return next on Red Eye Radio.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It is Red Eye Radio. Dan Mandison for Gary McNamara and Eric Carley, 866-90-RED-EYE. Want to say hello to James calling from Milwaukee. Appreciate the call. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. How are you doing?
I'm good.
First of all, I want to save you a little bit of money, or you should forgot to use allegedly shot someone in self-defense. But that's not why I call you.
Okay.
Listen. Georgia is the key. 156 years ago, the Union was saved when General Sherman took Atlanta for the Union Army. President Lincoln was reelected because the Democrat, McClellan, was going to make peace with the South, and the Union was going to be gone. Once again, the Union is saved. Okay? All of this other talk doesn't matter. The Union is saved. Trump loved the Confederacy. He loved the Proud Boys. He loved proud white supremacists.
All right, James. Thanks, James. So I don't even have time to answer the accusations from James in Milwaukee. But James, you are wrong on President Trump. You might want to, I don't know, maybe do your research. But we'll save it for another day. Thanks for the call. Actually, no, I don't thank you for the call. That was a bad call. Just bad caller.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.